Money Podcast from The Guardian, in association with Nationwide Mortgages. Nationwide, proud to be a building society.
Hello and welcome to the first of the Money Guides, a series of four special podcasts, each focusing on a different but equally compelling area of personal finance. I'm Claire Catford, and in this podcast, we'll be looking at the mystery that is the housing market. We've got a dazzling panel of experts to explain to us just what on earth is going on with house prices. But before I introduce them, let's hear from someone who is herself fresh from the housing battlefield. Her name is Katie, and she showed us round the place that she and her fiancé, Max, have just bought.
We came to look round this house on a Saturday, and the current tenant was kind of half naked in this room, which is the first bedroom that we're coming into here, currently being used as a study. But it's a nice big room, lots of light. The factors that pushed us into buying now were really that even though neither of us are real financial people, we were aware that it was a good time to buy. We started looking in March 2009. And we saw that at that point, actually, prices were considerably lower than when we actually ended up offering. It was becoming apparent that housing stock was very small. It was like you went on all the websites and they were the same flats that were there last week. Anything good and new was disappearing. It was like you would see somewhere, you'd walk into somewhere, you'd like it. It was like a starting gun went off in your head. And you knew that you had to offer like straight away and there'd be total panic. And it was quite a pressurised competitive situation that obviously is fueled by estate agents. They want you to think that the house is going to go off the market, you know, in seconds. And in terms of price, we did get a considerable amount off the asking price, but it's still, I wouldn't say that we're going to make an awful lot of money on it when we sell on. And we didn't buy it in the expectation that it was really going to be a financial gain in the long run. We bought it because we wanted a home. This is our bedroom. It has lots of bookcases, which reflects my obsessions in life. And then there's a bathroom coming off it with an ensuite. We were really lucky in that my family provided a lot of the deposit. I'd saved quite a lot of money as well, as had Max. So the deposit actually was less of an issue than getting the mortgage. I, at that time, was not in a permanent contract in terms of work, and the mortgage company couldn't cope with me at all. They absolutely couldn't cope with me. So eventually we had to discount me entirely from the mortgage process because they just couldn't fit me into one of their boxes. And I would say that those boxes have recently been very much narrowed and tightened. It was a real struggle. There was a time when I was literally speaking to the mortgage advisor more often than I was speaking to Max. So it was really hard work getting that. And it feels like almost buying a house, I think, is a test of your endurance. Then this is the room that really sold it for us. It's got loads of light. It opens onto the communal gardens, which no one else ever really uses. And it's a big room. It is the most amazing feeling. It makes us feel very whole and together as a couple. It's our home and we're going to build it together. and hopefully at the end of it, if we're lucky, we'll sell it for more, but it won't be a lot more. But we're not even counting on that, really. It was about having a home.
That was Katie getting just a little bit choked up about the joys of home ownership, or perhaps it was just the stamp duty bringing tears to her eyes. Well, as we know, the housing market can be a cruel and overwhelming place, but luckily help is at hand. We're joined now by Jonathan Davis, a chartered financial planner and managing director of Armstrong Davis, Oliver Gilmartin, who's a senior economist at the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors, and our very own Hilary Osborne, the editor of The Guardian's Money site. Oliver, just listen to that story there, very moving and very emotional. Of course, house buying is just like that. But give us a bit of an overview of how the market has developed over the last year and what seems to be happening, particularly in the short term.
Well, the market actually hit a trough in February. Our own survey, which looks at our agents and looks at demand out there, was witnessing a pickup in inquiries, which initially wasn't really materialising into new mortgage loans. However, we have seen a subsequent pickup since February, with prices on some measures up around 10% since hitting that trough. And really, this has been most definitely due to a lack of, on the supply side, market tightness, as it were.
And that's what Katie said. She said that there's not enough stock available.
That's right. New instructions that go onto surveyors' books have been consistently declining. And we would expect, you know, at this part of the property cycle, for there to be, you know, a substantial pickup. But I think low interest rates essentially have really bailed out the homeowner. And what we've seen is, you know, a lack of properties coming to market.
Jonathan, how can prices rise when the economy is still in recession? It's really tough out there. And is this indicative of a longer-term rise to come, do you think?
I'll answer the last question first. No, it's not indicative of the long term. On the contrary, it's a blip on a long term downtrend, which started with the crash in September 2007. Prices have risen because, as Oliver just said, the Bank of England slashed base rates to 0.5%. It's unheard of in our history. And mortgage rates fell also. We've also seen our currency decimated. So we've seen Russians and Europeans with strong currencies coming in and buying in, say, Kensington and Chelsea. And of course, the numbers of transactions are still very, very small. You know, people talk about this recovery. I don't see any recovery. It's 40 to 50,000 transactions a month, according to the Land Registry in England and Wales. That compares with long-run norms of over 100,000 a month. That's why prices have risen, because people are not rushing to put their properties in the market.
That's a brutal reality. Hilary Osborne, is that one that you would agree with?
Absolutely. I think, as both Oliver and Jonathan have said, mortgage rates are so low that people who've been made redundant this year can actually still afford to pay off their mortgages. So we're seeing no forced sales. We're seeing fewer repossessions coming onto the market. So the usual things that might happen when the economy declines have actually been staved off because interest rates are so low. And on top of that, you've got sellers who, just like buyers, are unsure what's going to happen to prices next. Maybe holding off, not putting their homes on the market, you know, thinking twice about getting an extra bedroom just for the sake of it, keeping their powder dry, really.
Jonathan mentioned Kensington and Chelsea. Of course, that's London-based. But what about the situation elsewhere? Is it more or less gloomy? There are pockets of the country, of course, that have really been hit hard with job losses.
Yeah, I would say that the top end of the market in London is nothing like outside London. I think we've got areas of the country, Manchester, Leeds, city centres, where you've got all of these flats that were built in the boom times. They can barely give them away at the moment. So I'd say that it's very localised, the picture at the moment. It's very hard to generalise at all about what's happening.
Now, the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors, you're always bringing out reports and always bringing out predictions. Did you see this coming?
Well, our last forecast was that prices would be higher at, you know, the end of the year. Which at the time, you know, some people were saying, well, that's a bit optimistic, the surveyors would say that. But that was partially due to the slack that we saw. You know, there was this increase in this sales-to-stock ratio, which is a lead indicator on future house prices. I think, you know, most people going back a year were very negative on the housing market. You know, people were talking about further declines of anything up to 30 to 40%. But I think, you know, there have been these very unconventional measures taken by the Bank of England. We've seen unconventional monetary policy across the globe. And unsurprisingly, in most cases, if you look at, for example, Singapore, Hong Kong, all this money that's been pumped into the economy is finding its way into asset prices. And we've seen a recovery in terms of the stock market. We've seen it in the property market. So I think, you know, it's very difficult to predict house prices when you've got things being carried out, which, you know, is for the first time in history. But I do think that what hasn't really played out as yet is a big pickup in forced selling in a cycle.
And Oliver is absolutely correct. The government stimulus has been absolutely unprecedented. We've had a VAT reduction, we've had the car scrappage scheme, £2,000 for new cars for old bangers, the massive reductions in interest rates, and of course we've had the biggest bank bailouts in history. Of course, when you put £200 billion into the economy, it's going to in some way feed through to asset prices. But it's not affecting the economy. We still see unemployment rising dramatically. We still see, of course, six quarters of negative GDP. What happens when the stimulus ends? After the next election, don't we already know that taxes are going to rise, that government spending is going to be slashed? Don't we already know that unemployment is going to continue rising? And based upon all this government stimulus, is what they call it, I call it printing money, we're going to see further decimation of our currency. What's that going to do to our global competitiveness? The fact is, the economy is in a dreadful state, and that's what ultimately affects the long-term trend of house prices. Mm. And that's why our assertion is that 2009 has just been a blip on a medium-term downtrend. You don't have a 15-year rise in house prices ending in the biggest economic and financial collapse in history and a house price crash which only lasts 16 months.
Well, that's an overview. Let's go back to Katie for a minute. With that as the backdrop, Hilary, how does someone who wants to buy a house begin to, if you like, forage their way through all the difficulties and the red tape and also the economic realities that have just been outlined?
Something that Katie said, which is quite interesting, was that they were hoping they might make a profit on the property when they sold it.
There was a note of optimism in her voice, yeah, though, wasn't there?
Yeah, and I think she did stress how it was more important for it to be a home. And I think that really is the way people have to go into things. You can't look around properties and think, am I going to make money out of this? You really have to think, do I like it? Can I afford it? How does it measure up against renting, the cost? How long am I going to live there? And be really guided by all of those things. It should never have been a gamble. You should never have gone and bought somewhere because you thought it was going to go up quicker than the place next door.
Do you take Jonathan's perspective seriously as well? And what he's saying is it's an economic meltdown. We've had all this investment, but not much has changed, and it's not likely to change.
Well, I mean, our own forecast was for a pickup this year and then to fall back next year. So,
fall back how far?
Fall back by around sort of 5 to 6% next year. Now, with the economic growth numbers that we've seen, with us being the last economy of the G7 to come out of recession, and hopefully, obviously, we will going into Q4, I think it's quite worrying that house prices are up by 10%, even though we have been in recession. And I think if you take a look at, say, what's been happening in the US, in Spain, in Ireland, there was a big oversupply and a big construction boom. They're not seeing a similar turnaround in those markets. So I think you have to look at the supply side of the UK housing market. And, you know, there have been studies that look at the supply situation. And it is one factor which contributes to, you know, higher trend growth in house prices in the UK compared to other countries. I think there is a debate about the unemployment numbers and how far unemployment rises from here on in. You know, we will expect significant cutbacks in the public sector. However, if we are seeing an economy moving out of recession, then maybe we're not going to see quite the dire predictions on unemployment. And so I do think that, you know, these stimulus measures are having an effect. And I do think this house price recovery has got further to run.
So is the word recovery, in your view, in the light of what Oliver's just said, is that a dirty word? Do you think recovery is really something that almost belongs to the past and we're not going to see recovery for some time?
Recovery in the economy is what matters. And I see no recovery. I see no green shoots whatsoever. It's temporary blip based upon the government taking out our future taxes and pumping it into, well, banks essentially, and car manufacturers. What happens when government spending is slashed? Everyone's talking about it. We know it's going to happen. What happens when interest rates start rising? They can only go in one direction because they cannot go down any further. And when that happens, we're going to see the resumption of the economic downtrend and the house price crash. As far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely inevitable.
So, Hilary, if that happens, that scenario, and many people, of course, then would end up in negative equity, of course, wouldn't be able to pay their bills if interest rates rise. The situation possibly is looking a lot more gloomy than many people would want to say it is.
It certainly is. I mean, I would say, based on all of that, if someone's buying a house at the moment or thinking about buying a house, they really do need to be thinking about interest rates, the fact that they probably are going to go up. And they might go up very sharply. So they need to be making sure that when they take out a mortgage, they know that there's some flexibility in there, that if rates go up, they can afford it. I just think take a very sort of frugal approach to buying, to not feel panicked. I know that when prices start going up again, people start thinking, I'm not going to be able to afford it if I wait. I've got to get into the market as quickly as possible. And I think people should really maybe sort of stand back and think, well, no, I'm not going to panic buy. I'm going to make sure I can afford it.
So, Jonathan Davis, if you are a first-time buyer or you're a would-be first-time buyer, what are the suggestions that you have for people in that situation?
If you're not on the property ladder, continue to rent, because as far as I'm concerned, for another couple of years, this is still a downtrend.
I wanted to ask you, Hilary, about if you are selling your home. We've talked a lot about first-time buyers. For all kinds of reasons, people have to sell, not just because they want to make money. They may have to sell because they can't afford the current mortgage and so on and so forth. What is the situation, as far as you're concerned, with the experience that you have from the readers and the response you get from them in that particular area?
Well, I think people are quite concerned. If they bought somewhere fairly near the top of the market, they're looking at how much they're able to put their property on for now and panicking a bit if it's less than they paid for or about the same rate. But I think they really need to look at the bigger picture and think about the price of the place that they're buying. And if they are trying to particularly move up the ladder, then chances are they're going to get the next place for cheaper. So I think people just need to take a sort of very realistic approach, think, well, I'm not cashing in my property, so actually it doesn't matter how much equity is in it, really. It's whether I can afford the next place I need to buy.
There's a lot of ifs there. Let's hope we've been able to shed some light on what is an incredibly complex situation. I do hope the discussion has given you something to think about. And if you're planning to buy or sell, all the best. Many thanks to my guests, Jonathan Davis, Oliver Gilmartin and Hilary Osborne. Don't forget to listen to the rest in the Money Guide series for some more insight, analysis and good old-fashioned advice. I'm Claire Catford. Thank you for listening.
Nationwide Mortgages. Nationwide. Proud to be a building society.